The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam Rhodes at the Seaport NYC in the building. Looking clean, gentlemen. It's sort of like the playoffs. It's the play-in tournament. And guess what? It begins tonight. But I want to talk about Wednesday's matchup. LeBron James and the Lakers. They're facing the scoring champ Steph Curry and the Warriors, of course, without Klay Thompson at Staples Center, 10 Eastern, ESPN, mañana. LeBron has 27 career points per game to Steph's 24. Steph has two scoring titles to LeBron's one. The King has double the amount of MVPs and one more NBA title. But Steph has gotten the best of LeBron in the playoffs. In 22 meetings between the two, Curry has gone 15-7 against the King. Max Kellerman, do LeBron and Steph help or hurt each other's legacy?
Well, LeBron has hurt Steph's legacy. By the way, you know I like analytics, right? Mm-hmm. But that's the difference between analytics and statistics.
Okay.
There are lies, damn lies, and statistics, right? You have to know how to contextualize them. Steph Curry has no such record like that in the playoffs against LeBron. That's absurd.
What I just gave you, 15-7?
Yeah, come on, let's look at really what happened. First time they link up in the playoffs, right? In the finals. Give me that look for. You already out. You're on one today already, huh? First time we're in a room together in a minute, and you're giving me that look already.
Oh, it has
first
been
time
a while.
They link up in a playoffs.
Yeah.
It was so obvious that LeBron was the best player in the series. Mm-hmm. He didn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. Dellavedova was his second best player. They still took him six games. Who won finals MVP? LeBron should have gotten it. They didn't want to give it to the guy on the losing team. They gave it to Iguodala because he guarded LeBron. Steph didn't win finals MVP because it was so obvious that LeBron was way better than him and everybody else on the floor. That's the first finals. Second finals, a 73-win Warriors team is beaten by LeBron James. By the way, Steph wasn't going to win finals MVP again. It was going to be Draymond. LeBron won it because he was the best player in the finals, so his team won. That should have been 2-0 for LeBron. Then KD joined a 73-win team, making it impossible for anyone else to win. We all knew, okay, as soon as KD signed that team, this man right here was like, that's the weakest move ever by a superstar because you know it was a non-competitive move. LeBron had no shot. LeBron was still the best player in that series. But you know who the best player on the Warriors was? KD. Steph was second. Steph is so much under LeBron that everyone acknowledged Steph, Clay, Dre, Iggy, they need KD to help him beat LeBron and then did it again the next season. How many finals has Steph played in? He's played in five finals. How many finals MVPs has he won? Zero. And mostly, that's because of LeBron James. LeBron James, meanwhile, in every finals he's ever played in, except maybe the second one when KD won it, has been the best player on the floor. LeBron has hurt Steph's legacy.
First of all, not only are you wrong, blasphemous, and utterly ridiculous, but the other part about it is that you got to ask the question, because I don't recall Molly asking the question about who was the better player. That whole soliloquy you just went on was about LeBron being better than Steph. That wasn't a damn question. It was about whose legacy was affected. Now let's get to the legacy. How many times has Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors beat LeBron in the NBA Finals?
With or without KD?
That's not my question. You don't get to ask the question. Right. I asked you a question. How many times has Steph Curry's team beaten LeBron James' team in the NBA Finals? Answer it.
That wasn't a Steph Curry team that asked you.
Three.
I asked a question. Does he play for the Golden State Warriors?
Three.
You see how you try to avoid the question? Because
three.
I'm getting to a point.
Three.
You're trying to delay the point that I'm trying to get
statistics.
To. Three times, right?
Yeah.
How many titles would LeBron James have if he won those three?
Three more titles than he has now.
How much would that be?
Seven.
How much more of Michael Jordan would that be?
Mm-hmm. I hear what you're saying.
So if LeBron James had one more title than Michael Jordan, perhaps there would be an elevated level of legitimacy to the argument that he is indeed the GOAT as opposed to MJ in some people's mind, not yours, not mine, but in the minds of many people. The fact of the matter is, LeBron James has lost as many titles
as Michael Jordan has won. Now, what I'm saying is this. When I talk about LeBron James being number two all time,
yeah,
I don't recall me ever saying that Steph Curry was in that conversation. I've said that Steph Curry is the greatest shooter God ever created. The greatest shooter we've ever seen, without question. Mm-hmm. He's number one by far in that category. But in terms of the greatest player ever, the argument in the discussion is LeBron, MJ, with people bringing up Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If there were not three NBA Finals losses on that resume for LeBron James, we might be having a different conversation. Yeah. Last time I checked, that's legacy.
Yeah,
Actually, you're talking about the best player. I need to clarify something
you said, because when I read that record today, you said it's lies, damn lies, and statistics. But on Friday's show, you told me records are statistics of events.
Statistics are records of events.
Okay.
Right. So it records the events that took place, but it doesn't give you details. And once you get the details, you contextualize it. So let me now tell Stephen A, and let me just say, like, you're slick, Stephen A. You're good. If I'm not sitting here, you get away with that nonsense.
I'm actually great when I'm up against you.
I agree.
Go ahead.
You're great to even be able to stay in a conversation with me. That puts you in the inner sanctum of the Hall of Fame. Let me explain this. When you say what's their record when they face each other and LeBron would have seven if not for Steph, that's where you're being slick. Because whoever you see in the finals is going to be a great team. Right? So if LeBron doesn't, you see in the finals is going to be a great team. Out of the Western Conference, of course. Any one of those teams in the Western Conference coming out, that's going to be a loaded team.
Are you talking about this year?
Generally out of the West. Those years that LeBron played the Western Conference team, you had to be loaded to get out of the West. So if LeBron in year one doesn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love, he probably loses to whatever comes out of the West anyway. That's one down. That's not Steph. Again, Steph didn't win MVP on his own team. Iguodala did for the defense he played on LeBron, which was simply acknowledging LeBron was the MVP.
Simple question here. If LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers had gone up against Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant at OKC instead of Oklahoma City, you don't think that Cleveland would have had a chance?
Without Kyrie or Kevin Durant, they'd have gotten smoked.
Excuse me. Then why are you saying they would have gotten smoked? Because of the greatness of Kevin Durant?
KD and Westbrook.
The greatness of Kevin Durant, who you continuously malign, because you know what?
I'm the one
that called it the weakest move. But the point that I'm trying to make is he's not in LeBron's class. He doesn't come close. The decision making at the time of Russell Westbrook as a point guard and how that could have worked against him.
Timeout. There are two dudes on that OKC team that are different, KD and Westbrook.
Yes.
Without Kyrie or Kevin Love, you got one dude on Cleveland. Two usually beats one. They probably lose. My point is, the next season, when you say count the chips, LeBron beat a 73-win Steph team. That's what you hang. That might be the greatest season ever in terms of the story.
So if LeBron beat a 73-win, if LeBron beat a 73-win team, how come before when he played and he should have been MVP, averaged damn near a triple-double, if not a triple-double in that NBA Finals, was absolutely when he took a bow to Jim Brown, when he was absolutely sensational, they had a 2-1 lead on the Golden State Warriors. How come that LeBron could not have beaten an OKC team?
Without Kyrie.
I'm saying the way he was
because
playing.
Because that OKC team was a great team. That OKC team the next year almost beat that Warriors team. They were loaded. They looked like maybe they were the best team in basketball in 16.
LeBron almost beat them too.
Wait, so those are those two, 15 and 16. If you look at 17 and 18, that's not Steph stopping LeBron. That's not him affecting LeBron's legacy. That's Steph and Clay and Dre and Iggy, everybody, Steve Kerr, everybody saying, looking at LeBron going, we need more. Let's go get KD.
That's a team. In the end, his legacy is affected because of the fact that he has those three NBA Finals losses. And I'm just bringing up from a generic perspective, overall, the fact that you have three additional losses, if you are 4-6 instead of 7-3 in NBA Finals appearances, that might have something to do
with your legacy.
Doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, he was on that team. He's one of the stars of that team. By the way, Steph Curry is a career 26.5 point per game scorer in the NBA Finals, not to mention what he does in the postseason. It's bad because his numbers fall. He shoots 38% from three-point range in the finals. Yeah. I mean, just stop the presses. What a catastrophe.
Yeah, let's be clear. When I say Steph's the chokes in the finals, I mean for his standards.
We're talking about Steph Curry here.
Yeah,
the bottom line is there are three losses in the finals on LeBron's resume courtesy of Steph with
he
others.
He was a unanimous MVP.
Period. Doesn't matter.
In 16.
You'll remember that. You'll remember
team,
that. You'll remember
and LeBron
that.
Beat him.
You'll remember that because you read instead of watch. But for those of us.
I saw you in the game.
Yeah, I understand
you
that.
You saw me in the game.
And you were there reading. The bottom line is you were there reading. You were there reading. That's what you were doing instead of watching the game. That's what you were doing instead of watching the game. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. For seven titles. It would have been one more than MJ. That's what you're missing.
Okay, so Stephen A. says Steph has hurt LeBron's legacy. Matt says LeBron has hurt Steph's legacy. Just in case that wasn't clear. Great debate, though. Let's keep it rolling to the East Coast, where I'm from. The Eastern Conference play-in tournament has some interesting storylines. LaMelo Ball leads the Hornets against the Pacers in the 9-10 game. Winner to face the loser of the Wizards, Celtics. The Wizards enter the play-in tournament as one of the hottest teams in the NBA, courtesy of Russell Westbrook. A big reason why. He has recorded a triple-double in 23 of his past 30. Talk to me. And the Celtics enter the play-in tournament a bit hobbled. They will be without Jaylen Brown, who had surgery on his wrist, and will not be able to return to basketball for a few months. Let's stay in Beantown. Max, does Brad Stevens get a pass without LeBron?
Without LeBron.
Excuse me.
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown.
I would say he doesn't get a pass without LeBron.
Sorry, you can tell what's on my mind.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does get a pass without Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And let me be very clear, Stephen A. When people like you or Kendrick Perkins start talking on TV about Brad Stevens and the locker room and stuff like that, it doesn't take a genius to read between the lines. I'm not doubting that stuff like that might be going on. But let me say this. This dude, Brad Stevens, has been in three of the last four Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this year we know what happened. Kemba Walker was hurt for a lot of the year. They had COVID health and safety protocols that really disrupted the team. Lots of guys not playing. And then, and I keep mentioning Gordon Hayward because Stephen A., you're like, hey, guy's looking sideways. Why are you playing Gordon Hayward? And I said, maybe coach needs that passing in the starting lineup. To me, it looks like he did this year. Missed Gordon Hayward. And now Jaylen Brown is down. Stephen A., they have two dudes who you look at and you go, well, you have those two guys. You should be able to do more. Tatum and Brown. And one of the guys is gone. Yeah, it's okay. Like, if they don't make a playoff run this year, he gets a pass. We understand why they didn't. Yes.
Brad Stevens does not get a pass. But before, you brought up the name Gordon Hayward. Just as an aside, he's now a member of the Charlotte Hornets. Signed a lengthy new contract with the Charlotte Hornets. Out for tonight's game because of a sprained foot. What the hell is going on, Gordon Hayward? What the hell is going on?
Injured.
He's been out for a while. Injured? Really? Really? Listen. I'm being told that you got a lot of people in Charlotte who believe he can go. What's up? You got the money. You got the bag. It ain't like you're approaching free agency, bro. You're trying to play in a place. This team has collapsed over the last 10 games without Gordon Hayward. He's important to them. I mean, missing these damn games. What's up? I mean, damn. What's up? LaMelo back with the broken wrist and all. How the hell a sprained foot keeps you out this long? I'm just saying. There's something that needed to be said, damn it.
Okay.
Now let me get
chest.
To the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens doesn't get a pass. The reason why he doesn't get a pass is because nobody is looking at him and questioning his ability to coach the team. We know he knows his X's and O's. We know he's been at three conference finals in the last 4 years. I am on the record. I don't believe he deserves to be fired. I like Brad Stevens. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think his record speaks for itself. And I think that there's a level of credibility that he should have, and he should be a head coach on this level. Mm-hmm. He's earned it. Having said all of that, just because you deserve a job doesn't mean you deserve that job. At some point in time, Jaylen Brown, 24, Jason Tatum, 22, these are the cornerstones of your franchise. Two young dudes who are relatively, based on age alone, relatively impressionable. They are coachable, et cetera, et cetera.
In fairness to Brad Stevens, although Jason Tatum emphatically and categorically denied this when I asked him, and I interviewed him on Stephen A.'s World and my Sports Center with Stephen A. Smith show, the bottom line is you have a lot of people in Boston that have looked at Brad Stevens and wondered if they've turned a deaf ear to what he's saying. We know he knows what he's talking about. We know that he knows the game. We know that from that perspective, he deserves the credibility that he has. But there does come a point in time where you can look at an individual and say, they're just not listening to you anymore. And what I where I get annoyed, Molly and Max, is we don't hesitate to point that out about players. Well, coaches are human beings, too, with a job description. And sometimes that job, is your ability to do your job is compromised, not because of lack of knowledge. It's because people are tired of hearing your voice.
I wonder why.
And that's entirely plausible when it comes to Brad Stevens. When you look at these guys, it's about, to me, if you have a Jason Tatum and you have a Jaylen Brown, and they were talking about they're both ball dominant and the ball doesn't move enough and all this other stuff that people were saying. And they brought in Kemba's injuries, and they brought in Hayward's absence, and they brought in Marcus Smart and what role he's going to play, et cetera, et cetera. At some point in time, it does come down to this. Can I have the pulse of my team? Can I get them to maximize their potential? Galvanize. Can I galvanize the troops to reach peak potential? And if that answer is questionable with two young stars on your squad, you might need to have somebody in there that's a better motivator.
Fair enough. But the question is, does he get a pass? And when I hear that, what I'm thinking is, can I look at the circumstances of this season and the details of what happened and say, that's not on the coach, at least not entirely? Yes, I can. And by the way, we also have to look at Danny Ainge. Traitor Danny, right? He's had a lot of talent.
Scared to pull that trigger.
Draft picks, everything, where he's a great GM. Yeah. And I think Brad Stevens is a great coach, or a very, very good one. They're not perfect. There are better GMs and better coaches. Not many, but there are, I believe. But they're very, very good.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean you can't do better. Danny Ainge, as you said, he's had a lot of potential stuff there to make a championship with. He has failed to do it. Now, is this more on Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens or bad luck or the players? In the hierarchy of those things, I'm not putting Brad Stevens on top. I'm probably putting circumstance on top and then probably Danny Ainge, right? We don't look at the Celtics roster and go, they should win the championship.
No, but you do look at them and say they should have been better than 500. You do look at them and say they should have been one of the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference. You do look at them and say, with the two young cornerstones of this franchise, as good as they were statistically, there are things that were missing from their game that's about coaching, not about their skill set. You did look at them and say all of those things at some point, some juncture during the season. And as a result of that, all I'm saying is we get to look at Brad Stevens and say, yo, if you ask Brad Stevens right now, could you have done a better job this year? He most certainly would say yes.
Stephen A.
And that's the
but
point.
But that's fair. And I'm not doubting what you're hearing at all whatsoever. I'm just wondering what changed. Why have they tuned him out?
Well, you know what? It does get to a point. Look, come on, y'all. Both of y'all know this. I know this.
What?
We all know this. You get tired of hearing people. There are certain people, no matter how right they are, you get tired of hearing them. You don't want to hear their voice anymore.
What Stephen A. is talking about is a real phenomenon.
Yes.
In different sports, like in football, baseball, you might say 10 years. After 10 years, certainly, right. They just start. It could be the right message, but usually the team will start to tune them out.
I'm just wondering, what would be better?
Molly. Both of us are parents. All of us are children. Okay? We all love our parents. Come on, y'all. We didn't get to a point sometimes. I just don't want to hear this person right now. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, when you're a teenager.
Wait a minute. No. Period. Young teenager, when you're. Occasionally is what I'm talking about. The difference is they're not parents, they're coaches. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a player with a guaranteed contract, empowered
one
to
thing,
some degree, when I get to a point where I don't want to hear him no more, I don't want to hear him anymore.
One thing that I think we also have to consider, because I said in the hierarchy, I'd put Ainge first, or circumstances first, bad luck, then Ainge. The question is it Stevens or the players? And I'll say this. Tatum, I think maybe one day could be the number one option on a championship team. Maybe. right? Jaylen Brown's an excellent player. There are levels to this. Just because you have two all-stars does not mean you have two dudes who can lead you to a championship. Yeah. Are those two good enough?
They're young. They're too young to lead to a championship. But they're gifted enough, talented enough, committed enough, focused enough, you know, and professional enough to be better
they were. Yeah.
than what they were.
Max, two,
and that's where you got to look at the coach.
Anyway, outside of AD and LeBron, and we'll get into that later, the subject of the big three.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Fellas, I don't know if you've heard, but the surging young Knicks, yeah, they've exceeded expectations under Tom Thibodeau. His New York squad has locked up a 4 seed and, more importantly, home court. Here's our Mike Breen on how MSG has become a destination again.
About midway through the season, to me, they accomplished what was their number one goal, and that was to change the perception of where the Knicks were in terms of change the perception around the league, change the perception with other players, with agents, in terms of looking going forward, is that a good place to go play? Well, now all of a sudden, that's a good place to go play because, man, that team plays hard. They play together. And New York Knicks basketball is now something people are talking around throughout the league. So they accomplished that, which to me was number one priority.
Oh, Stephen A.
Yes.
So many good destinations that you love. Yeah. Los Angeles, you spend more time there now. Mm-hmm. Miami, it's great to vacation. You are just in the islands.
There's nothing wrong with South Beach. Never anything wrong with South Beach.
I need to know this.
Yeah.
Are the Knicks a destination spot now?
Believe it or not, no. Not yet.
What did you know about Stephen A?
Let me tell you this. West, Worldwide West, please don't text me. Don't
where
get
are your pom-poms?
Like Arnold,
don't worry about this. Don't worry about this. What you talking about, Stephen A? Listen, here's the deal. It's not a destination spot yet. Let me explain. I can't say enough about Tom Thibodeau. He's number two on my coach of the year. I have a vote, and I'm not going to hide it. I voted for Monty Williams. Monty Williams, coach of the year. Tom Thibodeau's a close number two. I think the job Monty Williams did in Phoenix is sensational. Leon Rose is my executive of the year. I think he's done a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
With Scott Perry and Worldwide West, William Wesley there, from that particular standpoint, culturally, the New York Knicks can very well be a destination spot. I'm not going to even blame Dolan because in recent months, Dolan has, thank God, stayed out of the media, stayed out of the news. The question mark is Tom Thibodeau. Shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's number two coach of the year, my candidate. Great coach, number one defense, number one against three-point shooting, top five against the field. But today's player, they want to control stuff. That ain't happening with Tom Thibodeau. You ain't gonna,
You're not going to engage in load management of your own accord working for Tom Thibodeau. You ain't going to get too many perks playing for Tom Thibodeau. You're going to prioritize basketball. You playing for Tom Thibodeau. You're not going to go up on podiums talking about basketball is not on your mind. You're not, that ain't happening with Tom Thibodeau. That kind of stuff. You know, I'm just going
to
take days. I'm just going
to
take days off. Now, that ain't happening with him.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it as a negative to him because Tom Thibodeau has been on the record talking about the adjustments that he has had to make as a head coach from Chicago to Minnesota where he was controlling the whole thing to now being in New York. And I give him loads of credit for that, and I believe in it. But I'm talking about today's culture of player and what they like and what they've grown accustomed to. Colliding
with
the tendencies of Thibodeau.
Yep.
That is what has me a bit suspect.
I don't know
that.
What to argue with first. Yeah. Because I was prepared to come out here. Last segment, you're going, New York, stand up.
Yeah.
So
talk about right now, these
Michigan,
playoffs.
They
these
got
playoffs.
No chance to get past the second round. So you're saying
I didn't say that.
The bar.
Who said that?
The Knicks are getting to the conference.
I didn't say that. You said no chance. I'm not ready to rule that out. I'm not ready to rule that out.
I'm not ready to rule that out.
That second round matchup against the 76ers, I'm not ready to dismiss that. I'm not ready to dismiss it. No. I'm not ready to dismiss
it. New York stand up.
I'm not ready to dismiss
it. This is how low the bar has been set.
Yeah.
The bar has been set so low that they have a chance to win a playoff series. This is a team that since the year 2000 has never been to the Eastern Conference Final. A chance to win a playoff series is all you need, and it's New York, stand up. And you know what? I think the league is feeling that too. I have to be honest. New York is such a desirable market to play in, such a place where you can amplify your brand. And these superstars nowadays want to be billionaires. They got their eyes on the prize, right? Knicks are a place they feel they can do it if the culture is healthy enough. And now, I don't think it's any brilliant move by Dolan. As you would say, even a dead clock is right twice a day, right? Or in Dolan's case, once every two decades. I think finally this regime has gotten it right. You're right to look at Leon Rose and World Wide West and Thibodeau. They've done a very good job. And now I think the league is looking at it's a healthy place to play, and it's New York City, and it's the Knicks. But let me now address what you just said about Thibodeau. I never saw Thibodeau as the long-term coach for the Knicks. To me, the Thibodeau, fairly or unfairly, I think is perceived like Mark Jackson or in baseball, Buck Showalter. There are some coaches, general managers, managers, whatever, who are seen as this dude can get you to a healthy place. He can change the culture, and then you need someone else to get you over the top, whether fair or unfair. And I look at Thibodeau, and I just always assume that's what the Knicks are thinking. He's going to get us to a place. Maybe not. When you talk about you drown out the message after a while, right? Thibodeau strikes me as a type of dude who might burn out a team after 3 or 4 years, and then you bring in another guy to get you over the top.
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you is I'm not pointing the finger at Thibodeau as if he's at fault because he's exactly the way he should be, and he's what's needed in the game of basketball today as far as I'm concerned. I'm not blaming him at all. I'm just simply saying the culture that exists amongst today's players. The question is, how receptive are those individuals going to be, knowing the reputation that Thibodeau has once had, even though he's modified it to some degree? That's the question mark, which is why I said it remains to be seen whether or not this is the destination, because he's the guy that's there. Because if you're the New York Knicks, he's a godsend. I know he's a godsend to me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate Tom Thibodeau. But I will say this. They got to win a championship in Brooklyn because, my God, if they don't, let me tell you something. No one will regret not going to New York more than Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Listen.
They're right there.
Listen, Brooklyn's one of the boroughs. You understand what I'm saying? It's like it's Queens. You know, the Mets and Queens, you know. Mets and Queens, right? But we don't talk about them too much. These are the Yankees. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm just trying to tell you.
Brooklyn is nice. You understand? And listen, I root for Brooklyn against everybody but the Knicks, because I'm all about New York first, unlike some traders I know. I'm all about the boroughs, Queens, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island, Manhattan. I'm about the boroughs, baby. So I ain't rooting against Brooklyn except against the Knicks. But I'm telling you, when you pat, there's something special, and you have to admit this with your hating trader self. Even you got to admit this. No matter what success that's achieved in Brooklyn, Could you imagine if it had been achieved for the Knicks? If they don't win in Brooklyn, I'm talking specifically about KD and Kyrie. If there is not a championship parade on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York, I promise you, they're going to sit back and go like this. Damn.
One question.
What if we win New York?
One question.
What if we win New York City playing for the orange and blue? As Spike Lee would say, orange and blue skies, baby. Do you know I went by Spike Lee's office last week? We took a picture. We had the net.
He had the actual media.
It was the actual net from the 73 NBA championship game, game seven. Actually, I think it was 70. I'm sorry. When Willis Reed came on, he had the net to that. It was 69-70. Yeah. He had the net to that, okay? And we took a picture right outside his office. Orange and blue skies, baby.
A long time ago? I wasn't born 69-70.
That's right.
You say that's a long time ago?
Yeah, I have one question. 50 years.
If the Nets don't win the championship.
51 years now.
Let me pose another question. What if the Nets do win the championship?
I think that we'll have no choice but to celebrate them. I think Brooklyn will be crazy. New York Knicks fans will be, all right, y'all got it.
But it ain't going to be the same.
Good? I mean, we have a good parallel, right? Lakers, no. Clippers, and Knicks.
There's a difference. The Nets are not the Clippers. I'll tell you why. Because the Nets, who won a championship in the ABA with Dr. J, have never been in New York as an NBA team. They were in Jersey. Mm-hmm. So the Knicks were running unopposed. And since they were running unopposed, they had the whole town. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now they're in Brooklyn. That is New York. By the way, the Yankees are in the Bronx. I was born in the Bronx.
So was I.
I grew up in Manhattan, right? The Knicks are and the Rangers are the only teams that play in Manhattan.
That's right.
You want to call that New York? Everyone else plays in the borough.
But they still call it. But it's called New York.
It ain't Brooklyn.
But they call themselves Brooklyn. And that's all right. You know this, Max. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe you don't, Max, because you don't travel too much like that. But in New York City. But there's a difference between getting stuck in traffic on Broadway and getting stuck in traffic on Atlantic Avenue. You understand? It's just a different feel. You wouldn't understand that, Max.
I understand
it. I understand it. You wouldn't get that. That is so wrong.
Barclays, are you out of your mind?
I'm just telling you. You don't understand. Let me tell you something. They better win.
Eighth Avenue. They better win.
Because if they ain't the champion, we're not talking about the Nets as champions at the end of this season.
I'm very disappointed.
You won't even hear anybody talking about it.
I'm very disappointed.
You won't even hear anybody talking about it.
You just argued the Knicks are in a destination spot.
And then turned around and said Brooklyn's not in New York.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. All right, let's go. Staying in L.A., the Mavericks-Clippers first-round matchup will be a rematch from last year's postseason. In Game 4, Luka had this memorable game winner to tie the series up at 2. Unfortunately for the Mavs, Kristaps Porzingis missed Games 4 through 6 after he suffered a lateral meniscus tear in his right knee. The injury caused him to miss the rest of the postseason. And after the series was tied up, knotted at 2, Kawhi and the Clippers took the next two games to close out the Mavs in 6, Kawhi averaging nearly 33 points per game. In the series, Max Kellerman, who is more important to this series, your boy Luka or Kawhi Leonard?
It's actually Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
First of all, we're in the playoffs. You notice how Luka has been a little hot-tempered this entire season, showing a little immaturity? Is that Kawhi Leonard? You have to worry about Kawhi losing his cool in the playoffs. And I know he had a bad Game 7 against Denver.
Yeah.
That was atypical. Kawhi Leonard has been one of the greatest postseason performers in the history of any sport. He's been incredibly clutch. In fact, last year against Dallas, same series, right? 33, 10, and 5 for the series, shooting 54% from the field. And you know what his plus minus was? 38. When he's playing you 38 points better over the course of the series than the Dallas Mavericks. Stephen A., except for the plus minus, everything I just said only speaks to Kawhi's offense. What's Kawhi going to be primarily known for? His defense. Actually, they're statistical, offensively, statistically, Luka and Kawhi are very similar. Kawhi has more steals, of course. Luka has more assists, of course. They're different kinds of players. But offensively, they're very similar in terms of what they're going to score and their rebounds and all this stuff. And then defensively, there's no comparison. So when you add all that up and then plus take into account Kawhi's history of clutch performances, the answer is Kawhi Leonard.
The answer is not Kawhi Leonard. And I'm not taking anything away from the greatness of Kawhi Leonard, because even though I get on him about the load management stuff, the bottom line is he is an elite performer when it counts for the most part. And I won't take that away from him. I know how great he is. But last time I checked, Paul George ain't nothing to sneeze at. Rondo, meaning playoff Rondo, is nothing to sneeze at. Reggie Jackson is not a scrub. Morris can play. They just picked up Kennard. They've got DeMarcus Cousins. They've got a few others. Without Luka, what are the Dallas Mavericks? I'm sorry. This is a brother we ignore because we've been paying so much attention to the greatness of Steph Curry, the triple doubles of Russell Westbrook, the injuries to Anthony Davis, and of course LeBron James. We just forgot that a guy by the name of Luka Doncic is averaged 27.7 points, 8.6 assists, 8 rebounds, shooting 47.9% from the field and 35% from 3-point range. How many people in the league got those numbers? And the Dallas Mavericks were 42-30.
Putting in that work.
All right. And this is with Kristaps Porzingis missing 29 games this year. They are 42-30, 12 games over 500. Okay. A top 4 or 5 seed in the West with a superstar that has flown under the radar. Oh. The Dallas Mavericks, hold on. The Dallas Mavericks are nothing. Nothing. Without Luka Doncic, other than Mark Cuban. Shark Tank, Mark Cuban, billionaire, Mark Cuban, brilliant mind. You know, somebody we all love talking to, definitely a friend of the show. And of course, the championship coach that is Rick Carlisle. The point is, Luka is everything. Everything to that. In this series, Even without Kawhi Leonard, the Clippers have a chance. Without Luka, Dallas, I would say lottery, but they'd be lower than that.
I would agree with that, actually. If you took Luka off that team, they have less of a chance because he runs their offense. You say the primary ball handler on a squad who runs your offense is more important.
I
think that's a good argument, but actually, when you look at these two teams last year, Clippers should have lost that series.
It was 2-2. It was 2-1. Clippers were up 2-1. Porzingis, by the way, dropped 34 in that third game.
That's what I'm
saying.
But
they still lost that game. They were still down 2-1.
They threw Porzingis out of the game because he barely argued. Two bad calls on both sides of the floor.
Right.
And then he got hurt.
And they got to stop that.
When Porzingis was on the floor, they were the better team. We know what we're going to get from Luka. We know what we're going to get from Kawhi. Those two dudes are studs. Really, if you want to start getting to what would the team be without, it's going to come down to the play of Paul George on the one hand and Kristaps Porzingis on the other. If you want to make it like that, then we say which second banana is going to play better. That'll determine the series. But who's going to be the best player on the court? It's going to be Kawhi Leonard.
I'm sorry. Did you ask who was going to be the best player? Wasn't the question the most important? Was that not the question?
That's what I answered. I didn't say that Luka was better than Kawhi. I said the most important player is Luka Doncic, because without Luka Doncic, there is no playoff series. Without Kawhi Leonard, there still might be. Without Luka, there's no series.
Talking about in this series.
Did I just say that?
Playoff series without Luka.
Because the Dallas Cavs
has been hurt the whole season.
And the Dallas Mavericks don't have pretty much anything else.
No, they have some other pieces.
That he makes look good.
Look, no, they have actually other guys who can play. But he is the guy running their
I'm not calling them scrubs. I'm saying they're in the lottery. They're irrelevant. They don't exist if it were not for Luka Doncic.
If Porzingis were hurt all year, that's true. He's not hurt for this series. He's going to be playing in this series. And he was the pivotal guy last year. When he was playing, they were better than the Clippers. When he was out, they were worse than the Clippers. Okay. Porzingis.
Okay. Well, when you get a feather and you throw it by Kristaps Porzingis, and he's out for 2 weeks because of it, because he got hit by a feather.
You can't expect him to survive a feather.
You know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
You're setting the bar too high.